Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Billboard's Senior Director of Charts.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Executive Digital Director, West Coast.
How are you, Katie?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Keith?
We're barreling towards the end of the year. We've had year-end charts come out for Billboard. Mm-hmm. Christmas is just around the corner. And then we've got New Year's and end-of-year data from MRC data. It's just, you know, it's that special magical time of year.
Right. Yes, when everyone thinks of that magical time of year, they're thinking about the MRC data drop.
I mean, I've lovingly joked about how it's, like, annoying that we have two big holidays fall around the same time that we put out big data dumps. So, you know, New Year's comes along with the end of the calendar year to MRC data, and that involves a lot of work. And then also July 4th, Independence Day, comes right around when we dump out the mid-year reports, and that comes with a lot of work too. I'm like, yo, can we just have like the mid-year happen in like, I don't know, August? Why not?
Nothing happens in June.
Yeah, like, you know? March and August. That's the end of the year and mid-year. Done.
Okay. Keith says it so now.
All right. Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. And this week, we aren't lying to you because we actually have a guest interview with a music star and someone who is a folk from the world of pop as well.
Indeed.
Today on the show, we're talking all about Billboard's recently revealed 2021 year-end charts. We'll be taking a closer look at the top artist and new artist of the year, as well as the top Billboard 200 album and Billboard Hot 100 song of the year. Head to billboard.com to visit more than 450 year-end charts.
Woo!
I know. Ranking the year's most popular artists, albums, songs, and tours on the weekly Billboard charts throughout the past year.
And speaking of those Billboard year-end charts, today we have an interview with the woman behind the number one Hot 100 song of the year, Dua Lipa.
Yay!
The levitating pop star hopped on the phone with the Pop Shop last week to talk about her unstoppable hit song, finally touring around her future nostalgia album, getting back in the studio, and much more. So stick around for all that. And by the way, we recorded our interview with Dua a few days before December 3rd, which is when she announced that she had laryngitis, which in turn forced her to go on vocal rest and cancel her showing at the Jingle Ball in Los Angeles on Friday. So I'm glad we slipped that in and hope that Dua is feeling much better now and hopefully can bring her voice back to the world very soon. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
Alrighty, this week's show is going to be a show dedicated completely to our year-end charts. So Katie, if at any point you feel the urge to jump in and interject something, I encourage you to do so.
I love to do that.
Well, first up, on December 2nd, Billboard released more than 450 year-end charts, recapping the year's biggest artists, albums, songs, and tours on Billboard's weekly charts over the past year. Who has come out on top as the top artist of the year? Why? None other than pop and hip-hop superstar Drake. It's the second time he's taken home the honor, as he was previously the top artist in 2018. Now, Billboard's year-end top artist chart ranks the best performing overall acts of the 2021 chart year based on activity on the Billboard 200 albums chart and the Billboard Hot 100 songs chart, as well as Billboard box score touring data, and the 2021 chart year ran from the charts dated November 21st, 2020 through November 13th, 2021.
And that's what Keith was talking about earlier.
Yes.
That our chart year is November to November, and then MRC Data gives the data in January that is the typical, you know, January 1st to December 31st chart year.
It's like you read my mind, and this isn't scripted. I was going to point out how, you know, the Billboard year-end charts are sometimes confused with MRC Data's year-end charts, and it's a fair confusion to have.
Yes.
Because people just assume that we are one and the same, even though we are not. And also because, you know, Billboard's year-end charts run basically sort of mid-November to mid-November. So it's kind of like November to November versus like the proper calendar year for MRC Data's charts. And also they have totally different kinds of charts than we do. We have the Hot 100. Yeah. They don't. Gets awfully confusing. So, for example, a great example of how our charts will absolutely be different is that on Billboard's year-end top Billboard 200 albums list, Adele's 30 is not even on it because it hadn't come out yet. But come January, in the first week of January, when we look at the year-end top 10 albums in terms of just sheer popularity that MRC Data reports for the full calendar year, oh, you can bet your bottom dollar that 30 is going to be in the top 10.
And look for it in our 2022 year-end charts in December.
There you go. All right. Well, during the 2021 chart year, Drake not only got his 10th number one album on the Billboard 200 with Certified Lover Boy, but he also placed 35 songs on the Hot 100. 13 of those actually reached the top 10. And in fact, at one point he, you know, made history with 9 out of the top 10 songs on the weekly Hot 100 at the same time, and he had the entire top 5 at the same time, something that only the Beatles had ever done previously.
Yeah.
During the chart year, he had more songs reach the Hot 100's top 10, top 20, and top 40, again, during the 2021 chart year, than any other artist. So, you know, it kind of makes sense that he's the top artist of the year when the chart numbers shake out that way. It's just the way it works out.
Yeah. If you saw headlines on Billboard.com this year, you might have had an inkling that Drake was going to do okay.
Certified also finishes the year as the number 5 title on the year-end Billboard 200 albums recap, which some might be surprised at because the album only had 9 weeks of chart activity towards the 2021 chart year. But in those weeks, the album was so big. In fact, when it debuted with over 600 and something thousand units in its first week, which was the biggest week of the chart year. Again, this is before Adele came out.
I was going to say, to that point.
To that point. So that all helps, like, towards his chart performance. So it all makes sense. And even though Certified Lover Boy didn't come out until the end of the year, he made up for it quite quickly.
Yes.
So Drake is naturally the year's top male artist, and then the top duo or group for a second straight year is BTS. They are actually the number 12 overall artist, and the South Korean group notched 4 number ones on the Hot 100 during the 2021 chart year, which is the most of any artist during the chart year, and scored its 5th number one album on the Billboard 200, with the chart-topping debut of B back in December of 2020. And that album finishes the year at number 40 on the year-end Billboard 200 albums chart. So we've covered the top artist overall, we've covered the top male artist, we've covered the top duo or group.
But Keith, who is the top female artist this year?
So glad you asked. The top female artist is Olivia Rodrigo, and she's also our top new artist of the year. And she's finishing off an incredible year where she released her debut album, Sour, which spent 5 weeks atop the weekly Billboard 200 albums chart back in June and July. And that album launched a pair of number ones on the Hot 100 in Driver's License and Good For You. Sour finishes the year at number 2 on the year-end Billboard 200 albums tally, while Good and License are numbers 5 and 8, respectively, on the year-end Billboard Hot 100 songs recap.
This is a good example to your point about, you know, Drake not having that much time on the year-end charts, whereas Olivia Rodrigo, like, her entire you know, existence on our charts has basically been in this calendar year. The Driver's License came out in January, and the album came out in the spring, and so they've had a lot of time to be there and, you know, rack up number after number after number.
Well, 2021's year-end number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart is Morgan Wallen's Dangerous, the double album. The January release spent 10 weeks atop the weekly Billboard 200 in 2021, the most of any album since Drake's Views spent 13 weeks at number one in 2016. Notably, Dangerous is only the fourth country album to be the year-end number one on the all-genre Billboard 200 since the list began publishing on a regular weekly basis in 1956. The only other country albums to be the year-end number one on the Billboard 200 are Taylor Swift's Fearless in 2009, Carrie Underwood's Some Hearts in 2006, and Garth Brooks' Rope in the Wind in 1992.
It feels worth noting just because we've been mentioning it in our articles about this, but, you know, Morgan Wallen very notably had a huge controversy earlier this year where he was caught on video using the N-word. And while a lot of us know about that and know about him subsequently being, you know, barred from attending awards shows or being ineligible to receive awards, et cetera, you know, on the Billboard charts, this is just people buying and consuming the music. So his popularity didn't necessarily wane, even though radio wasn't playing him and he wasn't on these award shows. So it's interesting to just look at these numbers, and it doesn't really, I mean, like, it just speaks to what people are listening to, regardless of, you know, headlines that might be around about the that person.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, his album, the news of the video emerging of him using the N-word came out when the album was in its fourth week at number one on the Billboard 200, and the album continued to rack up weeks at number one.
Six more weeks.
So, anywho, moving on to the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, Dua Lipa's Levitating triumphs as the year-end number one on the Hot 100, following its record-breaking run on the weekly ranking of the Hot 100. Levitating debuted on the Hot 100 dated October 17th, 2020, and peaked at number two in May of 2021. The song ranked in the Hot 100's top 40 each week of the 2021 chart year, with 41 of those weeks in the top 10, a record for a song by a woman. And overall, only one song has spent more weeks in the top 10, and that's The Weeknd's Blinding Lights, with 57 weeks in the top 10.
Which we now know is the all-time greatest Hot 100 hit of all of, I was gonna say all-time greatest of all time, but you know what I mean.
Check back in a few years, and maybe Levitating will be the
maybe it'll be Levitating.
Maybe it'll be Levitating. Well, the persistent performance of Levitating paid off, as it's only the third song to be crowned the Hot 100's year-end number one hit without having reached number one on the weekly Hot 100 ranking. Since the chart began in August of 1958, a non-weekly number one previously won for the entire year only in the years 2000 and 2001, when Faith Hill's Breathe and Lifehouse's Hanging by a Moment were the biggest hits of each respective year, and both tracks peaked at number two on the Hot 100, just like Levitating did.
I feel like that's actually like a really apt analogy. All three of those songs are just those songs that like are inescapable on radio, are just there for a long time. It doesn't necessarily, like, they might not ever have been number one, but that doesn't make them any less of just massive hit songs that are very memorable from that year.
Yeah. The year-end number one on the Hot 100 Songs chart is by a lead female artist for the first time in a decade, since Adele's Rolling in the Deep reigned in 2011. And to be fair, the last year-end number one to credit a female artist at all was 2012's Somebody That I Used to Know, which was by Gotye as the lead artist, a solo male artist, and it featured Kimbra as the featured artist, and Kimbra is a solo female artist. For all of Billboard's hundreds and hundreds of year-end charts, make sure to visit billboard.com/charts/year-end. We need a more simpler URL next year.
Well, to be fair, you can leave this on or not, but, you know, the SEO around that is good, so it's probably just going to stay that way.
Oh, okay, well, fine, never mind.
And now it's time for our interview with Dua Lipa. Last week, the pop star claimed Billboard's number one Hot 100 song of 2021 with Levitating, so we got her on the phone to talk all about the absolutely unstoppable hit song and what it's like to see the song and her March 2020 album Future Nostalgia keep finding new fans more than a year and a half later. Speaking of which, we also chatted about finally touring around her sophomore album, her hit collab with Elton John on Cold Heart, and her new Service 95 venture, which includes a newsletter and podcast, because she's got a lot of spare time on her hands.
Yeah.
And finally, we all saw those pictures of Dua in the studio that she posted on Instagram. So does that mean new music could be on the way? Well, just listen to our brand new interview with Dua Lipa to find out right now. I got you. Hello to Dua Lipa and welcome back to the Billboard Pop Shop podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Of course.
You know, it's been a minute, Dua, since you were last on the podcast. You were actually last on the show in April of 2020, right after the Future Nostalgia album had come out. And since then, it's been hit after hit. Grammy Awards, Brit Awards, the amazing Studio 2054 live stream. And all of this was done while trying to navigate the challenges of, you know, working through a pandemic. And now we are at the end of 2021, and we want to be the first to congratulate you, Dua, on having the number one song of the year on the Billboard Hot 100 chart with Levitating.
Yay. Oh, thank you. It is just so exciting. Thank you so much. That was just very sweet of you to say. And it's nice after, you know, you work so hard, especially despite the pandemic happening and, you know, trying to figure out new ways to keep the music going, even, you know, when you've got limited resources. So it means a lot to me. Thank you. And Levitating, just doing its thing on the Billboard chart is absolutely surreal. I mean, that song has really taken a whole life of its own, and it's been my baby for so long. And to have it out in the world and for people's response to be the way that it is, it's absolutely mind-blowing to me. So I'm really, really, really grateful for it all.
It's still on the Hot 100 chart this week, Dua. It's not going away. I also,
oh my God.
It'll be come December of next year. We'll be talking about this again, I'm sure. I also want to add that Levitating is Deep Breath, also number one on Billboard's year end 2021. You ready? Global 200 radio songs, streaming songs, pop airplay, adult pop airplay, and even the Billboard Canadian Hot 100 charts. So there you go. That's a lot.
That is mad. That's mad. Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, really, it's the fans and, you know, everybody that's just been listening to it and really just making it their own. So I'm really proud of that. You know, I've always wanted my songs to kind of find a home with different people. So I'm happy that song did that for sure.
You know, in addition to Levitating right now, you have a hit that is very nearly in the top 10 of the Hot 100. That's Cold Heart with Elton John. Now, I'm sure working with a legend like Elton is probably reward enough, but this song is also a massive hit. Have you talked to Elton at all about the longevity of this song and why it seems to be resonating with such a huge audience around the world?
Well, I mean, the song in itself, the remix are two incredible songs, you know, that already did the rounds on the charts that people love and already know. And to put a very modern twist on it, with the remix and him so kindly asking me to sing alongside him, I think it's just a testament of how an artist like Elton can really just kind of as a musician, just be able to live through so many decades of music and constantly reinvent himself and create something really special and unique. And he has such a massive love for artists and championing new artists and young artists. And he's, you know, he's incredible like that. And so I feel like it was a very natural collaboration, but the reason I think it works, it's because it's just got a lot of love in it and a lot of soul and spirit. And I think sometimes when you hear a song like that, you can tell.
And we got to see you and Elton perform together at his Oscars party earlier this year. But do you think that maybe someday we could see a Cold Heart live performance with the two of you?
Oh, maybe. I would absolutely love to do a Cold Heart performance of Elton. Absolutely. It'd be a dream for me.
All right, we'll cross our fingers for that. You recently announced that in early 2022, you're going to be launching your very own newsletter and podcast. So you will also be a podcast host, just like me and Keith, right?
Yes.
Same exact thing.
I'm very excited.
So we've read that the newsletter, which is called Service 95, is going to be a style, culture, and society concierge service. So what does this all mean? Tell us what fans can expect from this newsletter.
So it's going to be a newsletter where for the longest time I've been making lists when I'm traveling, when I'm doing stuff at home, whether it's like my favorite restaurants, places to go, artists to see, plays to watch, you know, movies, books to read, you know, interesting ways to kind of get involved in activism. And so this kind of newsletter encapsulates all of those things put together, has really exciting news stories, things that I feel like you wouldn't really hear or read elsewhere. It kind of challenges perspectives. It's got very interesting concepts weekly. We're going to put very different stories. I want to make activism accessible for people that do want to get involved and help. That's something that's really important to me. So being able to kind of break the barrier there, create content that's really easy to follow that could help in whatever way, and also just shine a light on artists and designers and, you know, musicians and all kinds of people in the creative field. And it's really just of being of service, and also just telling you about the most banging restaurants all over the world, because that is what I love best.
And the podcast is titled At Your Service. Now, how is this going to work? How are you going to be recording a podcast as a globetrotting pop star? Like, when do you squeeze that in?
Well,
you're like, good question.
I'm good at timekeeping, so I will, you know, I'll always figure it out. I think my mornings, I can always work around that. You know, it's a work in process, but so far it's been good. I've started the recording process, which has been really fun. And I'm really enjoying it. It's just a completely different thing for me. And I've loved diving in and doing research about my guests and learning so much in so much depth, and trying to create a conversation that's also just going to be really helpful for people who are listening. There's going to be that kind of, you know, that constant thing about being of service, of people kind of understanding. I think it's kind of that realization that we're all really human, you know, and the things that we want to see, the things that we see in each other, you know, our perspectives and what they are and how they can change and shift. And I think talking to people like friends will kind of open everybody's kind of perspective up a little bit. And I think that's going to be really special.
I think, Katie, before I move on to the next question, I was just going to say, I think it'll be really fun, Dua, for people to maybe get to know you through a podcast. You know, maybe they don't get to sort of hear you sort of talk at length or get to know your personality. And I think this will be a wonderful way for people to get to know you in a different way outside of being, you know, a pop star. So that'll be really fun too, you think?
Yeah, I think so too. I'm still like getting in the swing of it, of just like, you know, learning to interview someone and you know, that whole process of not being scared and just letting it be a conversation. But it's been really, really fun. And I feel like speaking to different people about their experiences, there have been so many moments where I really had a lot to say as well, you know, about my experience and how I felt. And it's really been therapeutic as well to see and hear people's experiences and feel like a relatability there and something that I can connect to as well. And it's just been a beautiful experience so far. So I'm looking forward to more.
Well, amazing. I look forward to subscribing to yet another podcast, but of course it's from, someone I really, really like. So it'll be fun.
Thank you.
Also somehow at the same time, you know, you'll also be hitting the road on tour starting in February in Miami. And continuing on at least with so far announced dates through November of 2022. Katie and I both watched your Studio 2054 live stream virtually together. We were texting one another as we were watching the show. So is it safe to say that maybe that the live stream was kind of a teaser of what we can expect on the road, or what can we expect on the road for that matter?
I think it's safe to say that Studio 2054 was a teaser, a light teaser of what you're going to see on the road.
I think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, that's all I can reveal.
I mean, technically, you can reveal more.
We're so excited to get a tour around Future Nostalgia, though, because obviously we're talking about an album whose first single came out, you know, more than 2 years ago. And the fact that, I mean, obviously a pandemic sort of got in the way, but the fact that you are getting to finally tour these songs and people can dance to these songs and party to these songs is like such a huge full circle moment, I'm sure, for you.
It is really, really crazy, because I'm just like, I can't believe that, well, my album will be out 2 years in March, so like 1 month after I start my tour. And it's just crazy to think that I've never really fully performed these songs bar, you know, Studio 2054. So it's really exciting, but also to think how much the whole tour and the set list has changed from what it was going to be when I was initially meant to start it. And now I feel like I've done all this audience research and now I know exactly what my set list should be. So it's been really helpful, but also such a very, like a very, very new way of doing things. Definitely. Before, I was guessing like what people would like and what should be at the end and, you know, that kind of thing. So
it's been a two-year focus group, basically.
Yeah, it's been exactly. It's been a two-year focus group.
So lastly, you have teased occasionally on Instagram some photos of you in the studio, seemingly maybe working on some new music. And you recently shared a photo of you with both Watt and Ali Tamposi. So we are very excited to know, are you maybe potentially actively working on some new music right now?
Maybe potentially actively working on some new music. Yes.
That is very thrilling. I'm sure you can tell us absolutely nothing, but how have those studios?
I can tell you absolutely nothing, but it's I'm really excited. I feel so at home, you know, in the studio. There's nowhere I would rather be. So during this time that I've been at home in London, it's just been amazing to get in and write and experiment and try new things. And it's been wonderful, and I'm very excited for new music. Yeah.
As are we. It's a perfect note to leave on. So thank you so much, Duo. We're looking forward to the newsletter, the podcast, the tour, and congratulations again on Levitating's just massive success this year.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Keith. Thank you for having me back on your show.
Anytime, always.
Always a pleasure. And hopefully next time we can do it in person. Yeah.
Perfect. Let's do that. Thank you so much to Duo for coming back on the Pop Shop. This was actually Duo's fourth time on the show, Keith.
When I was proofing this earlier, I'm like, no, that's a misprint. And then I went back and looked. I'm like, no, this really is the fourth time. And the reason I didn't remember is because one of those interviews
Just mine. The second time we interviewed her, it was just me at the Grammy Museum backstage. And the first time, though, was back in February of 2017, and the interview might have even happened in January that year. It was before she'd released her first album in June 2017, before, you know, New Rules came out on that album, which is the breakout hit that really made the world fall in love with her. And it's just been, like, crazy cool to see her career absolutely skyrocket since then. It maybe levitate is the right word for it, actually. So thank you again to like continuing to come back, because we love chatting with you.
Yes. Thank you, Duo, for always always putting up with us. And she's come so far from, you know, coming into our conference room. Yeah. Back in,
I listened to a bit of that interview today.
Is
and
it
it's
fun?
Like, it is fun because it's just like, I mean, we're probably wildly casual because we have no idea who she is at that point. You know, like she's just, like we knew her music, but like, you know, it's not it's cool to be able to talk to somebody like that before they like reach these heights.
Okay, so now it's time for the chart stat of the week. It's actually just another quiz, Katie.
Ah, of course.
Hopefully, I don't know if maybe Katie hasn't read this far ahead, but
I actually haven't. So,
so in light of the fact that we were talking about the year end number one on the Hot 100 chart, and you know, our interview this week is with the artist who has that number one, Levitating. I thought it'd be fun to play a quiz, Katie, about which of these hits was not a year end number one on the Billboard Hot 100 songs chart.
Okay, okay.
So, here are your choices. We have The Beatles, Hey Jude, Madonna, Like a Virgin, Nickelback, How You Remind Me, and Drake, God's Plan. And I will say that all of these hit number one on the weekly version of the Hot 100, but only one of them was not a year-end number one on the Hot 100.
I might surprise people by my I'm narrowing it down to arguably the two most iconic artists on this list, and that would be the Beatles and Madonna, specifically with like Hey Jude and Like a Virgin, for God's sakes. But I feel like if my recent memory serves me, I think those other two might have ended at number one. So that's why I'm going between those two. And I'm going to pick Like a Virgin.
You are correct, Katie.
Yeah.
Like a Virgin was the number two song of 1985.
What was number one? Was it a Michael Jackson song?
No, that was in between projects for him. The number one song of 1985 was Careless Whisper, credited to Wham! Featuring George Michael.
Okay, now if you had done a quiz, Katie, where you had me side by side choose which of those were number one that year, I would have chosen Like a Virgin against Careless Whisper. That's wild.
So just to recap, Hey Jude was the number one song of 1968. How You Remind Me was the number one song of 2002. And God's Plan was the number one song of 2018. All right, so there's your chart stat of the week. Just a little quiz, Katie, on previous year-end Hot 100 number one hits. Hey!
Yay. All right, we finally got it right.
We've reached the end of our big shoe. Any parting words?
I'm just super excited for Dua, and so excited that we got a chance to chat with her again. And the year-end charts are always fun. So that was good show.
Yeah,
that's what I say.
what song should we go out on? One of those year-end number ones, or maybe your favorite year-end number one of the past.
Oh, goodness. Like, I could remember things like that.
Maybe you could just, like, name one and I could just say if it was or wasn't.
What if I just give you a year and you tell me what the song was? Can I do that? Can you pull up the spreadsheet?
Yeah, you can do that.
All right. So why don't we go with, like, the year I was
a
senior in high school, like 1999.
Well, that's a good one because that was Believe by Cher.
Oh, that is a good one. I was thinking maybe I'd get a boy band, but maybe I should have gone to 2000 for that.
You want to have an honorary? You can have an honorary. You can do this instead. The year-end number one album on the Billboard 200 of 1999 was Backstreet Boys' Millennium.
Oh, of course it was.
Would you want to do a song from Millennium instead?
Oh, well, no, I love Cher's Believe. Why am I denying the people Believe?
Yeah, why are you?
That's the year I picked. I should not change that.
We will go out on Believe, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.